Hello, you are listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Local Motion, our weekly public affairs show. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. On this edition of Local Motion, we will be talking about aging, dying, and hospice services here on the Western Slope. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, about 80% of people in the United States say they would prefer to die in their homes. And, according to the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, hospice utilization among Medicare recipients exceeded 50% for the first time in 2018. To get a report about hospice care around the listening area, KVNF News spoke with Dorothy Pugh, Delta Program Director for Hope West. She joined us in studio to talk about the subject.
Oh, well, thank you, Eric. Thank you so much for having me in today. Hope West is an organization that serves Mesa, Delta, and Montrose County with hospice services, bereavement counseling, services that are provided to the community to support people when they have a chronic or terminal illness. We're a nonprofit organization. We were founded 26 years ago in Mesa County and spread out from there to Delta County. We serve the entire county. There's a team in each county that serves just that county. So the Delta team is comprised of folks who live here in Delta and provide services for all of the communities and everywhere in between in Delta County. I see myself as the conductor of the orchestra. I'm the one that tries to make sure that our clinicians, our nurses, medical social workers, chaplains, and certified nursing assistants in the field have the tools and the resources that they need. I work a lot with programs such as this to help educate folks on the benefits of hospice and the kind of care that Hope West can provide to our communities to support our communities.
So let's start with a question kind of about what hospice is. Usually that means hospice is a patient who wants to die at home. Is that how you would define hospice?
I would say that that's not an incorrect definition, but more broadly, it's someone who is entering the last months of their life. The technical definition of someone who is eligible for hospice care is in the last 6 months of their life. And that's expert guesswork on two physicians' part. So folks who have decided that they no longer want to pursue treatment, that they prefer to let nature take its course, and to fully embrace whatever time they have left. For some folks, that's a few weeks, and for some folks, it can be months and months and even years because there's no real good way to guess. But if a doctor feels like that treatments aren't an option at that point in a person's disease progression, then that's the time to start having a conversation about hospice.
What kind of resources are provided for people out here on the Western Slope and in Delta County and Mesa County where Hope West is? What kind of resources do they have?
Well, one of the things to keep in mind is that we provide hospice care wherever the patient chooses to be. As you very correctly stated, most people choose to spend that last time, those last weeks of their life in their own home, surrounded by their family and their friends and their faithful companion animals. Some folks don't have that option, and for them, long-term care, a skilled nursing facility, or assisted living is appropriate, and we can provide care there. If a person has crises in their health, disease progression, I guess is the best way to put it. There are occasions where very intensive care is needed to ensure that patient's comfort, and that's provided in a higher level of care institution, for example, the Delta Memorial Hospital, or we have a hospice house in Grand Junction. that's all the only patients we care for are hospice patients. So that's an in-house kind of very intensive care.
Okay, so that in-house intensive care is at a facility in Grand Junction. And is that the only such facility that Hope West offers here on the Western Slope? And are there others?
Well, as I said, we can provide that type of care in a hospital setting. We recently also reached an agreement with a local skilled nursing facility, that's Colorado Care Center in Olathe, so that we can provide that kind of care in their center. So no, folks aren't faced with the option of, I either have to stay home or my family has to travel all the way to Grand Junction to be with me. Obviously, that's a choice that some people do make if it's right for them, but we can certainly provide that kind of care right here in Delta County.
That was Dorothy Pugh, Delta Program Director for Hope West. If you are just joining us, you're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. We are talking on this episode about death and dying and hospice services available here on the Western Slope. Dorothy Pugh went on to talk about hospice service being a labor of love for practitioners and for families. Sometimes hospice care is described as a burden on those who have to provide it.
Well, one of the reasons why I'm so glad you invited me to visit about this is that's a little bit of a misconception. The hospice primarily is funded through Medicare. So Medicare is kind of at the forefront of setting the regulations for what type of care hospice programs provide. Medicare doesn't believe that hospice is meant to care for someone around-the-clock, 24-hour nursing care. That's not how the program is designed. In the healthcare industry, we call that custodial care, where someone is receiving that round-the-clock care from a nurse. That's not the vision that the original founders of hospice had. So there's this kind of misperception that that's something that the hospice program, the agency or the organizations that is providing the care, can't provide or refuses to provide. That's not the case. The case is that that's not the way the program is designed. Someone who chooses to stay in their home does need family members or caregivers that are able to and willing to participate as part of the team in their care. And one of the things that's a bit disheartening to people who work in hospice is when that is labeled as a burden or something that's less than optimal care for the patient. You know, I think that we all need to remember that it hasn't been that many generations ago that many people passed in their own home. Without the supervision of a physician or a nurse, they were cared for by their family, and that was the norm. And as a society, we've kind of sanitized the dying process, if you will. We've made it so that it's something apart and separate. And that is most unfortunate, in my opinion. It can be a time of great love and great understanding. I want to not diminish how much hard work it is. Caregiving for an ill individual is a lot of hard physical work. It just is. But when you're providing that care for a family member, it is a labor of love. And I think that families who have made the choice to keep their family member at home with them don't see it as a burden.
That was Dorothy Pugh, Delta Program Director for Hope West. You are listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio, and Local Motion. On this edition of the show, we've been talking about issues related to death and dying, and we've heard about hospice services offered by Hope West. Now, we'll talk with Carrie Lerner of Crawford and she'll tell us about services she offers in her role as a death doula. It's an unusual term, so let's start with that, Carrie. What does it mean to be a death doula?
A death doula is, in my opinion, somebody who is working towards creating positive death experiences for people. So it works in the entire spectrum of death, from making plans and arrangements and advance directives to working with people while they're ill, preparing for death. But it continues all the way through after-death care and burial. Green burials is something that I like to focus on, and helping families. I'm a home funeral guide as well. So I help families care for their own dead at home so that they stay in charge and in control. A doula means caregiver. As a doula, I think that's really my biggest role is education. I do a lot of talks. I like to just talk about it with people all the time because we really don't know our options. And I think as a doula, that's my biggest role is just educating people and allowing people to make informed choices so they can feel like their needs are being met. And oftentimes death is so stressful that you can't really think very clearly and you can't make really good choices in those moments. So it's really about thinking about it beforehand and learning what your options are and making plans so that it can be a peaceful, healing experience for everybody.
It's Local Motion, and we're talking with Carrie Lerner about what it's like to be a death doula. Next, she explains that there are three phases of her treatment: pre-death, death as it occurs, and post-death.
So in pre-death, I help people to have difficult conversations with their families so that everybody's wishes are very clear with the people who are taking care of them. I help people to fill out advance directives. I like to use the five wishes, which is a pretty easy document that is very clear to state what it is that you would like. And it's for emergency situations, you know, whether you want life support or not. But it also discusses what kind of care you would like and whether you would like to be staying at home during the whole process. It discusses after-death care as well. So it really covers everything. I also like to just help people talk about death more and just try to shift the cultural comfort zone around it so that we are, you know, more prepared for when it comes for our families. So during death, one of the things I do is help to organize our community, because what I'm learning is that it takes a lot of care, and it's hard on families to provide all that care. So one of the things that I've been doing is helping to organize people's family, friends, and even just community members who are willing to step in and help, because it really does take a lot of care during that time. And then one of the other things I like to do is just help people just become more comfortable, become prepared, because when you're prepared, it takes away a lot of the fear, and a lot of the fear is what really causes a lot of prolonged dying times for people when people are afraid. So doing things, meditations and visualizations, things that can, you know, take that fear away. So after death, one of the things I really try to encourage is a home funeral. I'm a home funeral guide, and that means that people are kept at home after death, and their family takes care of them. So that just creates a continuum of care for the person. It allows the family to really stay in control in a time where they feel very much out of control. It allows them to stay present with their loved one and continue caring for them. And you can keep someone home for as long as you're comfortable with. How it works is after 24 hours, you need to provide dry ice for people. And you keep them on dry ice. And at that point, that counts as refrigeration. And that is the law. And at that point, then you are in charge. You can make that decision of when you're ready to let them go. And, you know, say goodbye at your own pace. Say goodbye when you're ready in the comfort and safety of your own home, which provides a lot of healing for people. There's a lot of trouble processing grief in our culture when we, you know, the typical scenario is that someone dies and they're quickly whisked away. And that leads the person very unable to really process their grief. There isn't any sensory input of the person's loss. They're left with not much to do except go maybe visit at a funeral home. So a home funeral allows people to stay home and allows the community and the loved ones to say goodbye in their own pace.
Carrie explained that she considers her work a service and does not charge a fee, although she does take donations. Health insurance does not pay for her services. Her practice is relatively new and reflects many changing modern attitudes about death and dying.
I mean, there's a huge shift in our country for cremation. I was just reading, and in the 1970s, like 5% of our country was cremated, and now we've just hit 50%. Places like Japan have a 99% cremation rate. So yeah, I feel like cremation's kind of been told to us to be a much greener option. I don't really know that I agree with that. It uses natural gas. It's a very long fire. I call it industrial furnace cremation as opposed to a pyre, which is the way cremation really started for humans. We used to have an actual fire, but now it's become very mechanized and it's kind of a very different process that happens. But yeah, the shift in our country is towards cremation for sure. Our culture doesn't deal with death. We've managed over the last 100 years to turn it over to professionals. We no longer have large families living together. We don't really have any cultural norms around death right now. And I think as a doula, that's one of the roles that I'm playing, is just trying to recreate, like, how do we do this and how do we do it well so that it's a healthy experience for everybody instead of something that's done far away, removed from our own lives, so that we're really not dealing with it. You know, some people nowadays manage to make it well into adulthood and don't ever know anybody or have never seen death. And that's different than it was just 100 years ago. You know, 100 years ago, we all, people, especially people around here, really had death as part of their lives, and we don't have that anymore. And yeah, I think lack of religion, lack of culture, like, we have a lot of reasons why we don't have very, very many norms around it right now. But I think we're recreating those. So we've managed to live in a way where death actually isn't coming. Like, we think we're going to live forever. We don't really recognize it. But long time ago, grandma lived in your house. And grandma died in your home, and then she was laid out in your living room and probably buried in your backyard. And so as children growing up, you encountered your elders dying much more so than we do. And even now in our culture, if you have an elder who died, you probably weren't there at the time of death if you were a child, because our culture tells us that we have to protect our children from death. And that's not a healthy way. They don't need protection. Children have a very healthy attitude towards death. We could learn from them, really.
And do you have a website that people could look at if they have questions for you?
I do. It's nfvhomefunerals.com. And the service I call, it's Birdsong Crossings. So you could Google that as well.
That was Carrie Lerner of Crawford talking about her role as a death doula. Thanks for joining us here on Local Motion. This edition of the show has talked about issues related to death and dying and hospice services available for Western Slope residents. Now, we'll switch gears a little bit for the final segment of the show. There's a group of women in the North Fork Valley who have formed a choir that sings to people as they are dying. It's called the Threshold Choir, and it's part of a national organization that provides human connection and inspiration through song. Krista Dudley is the choir leader, and she came to KVNF Studios to tell us all about it.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. The Threshold Choir is an international nonprofit organization, and it was established in 2000 in California. The founder was Kate Munger. And the Threshold Choir is about singing at the threshold time of life, the time of death and dying. And the motto is making kindness audible.
That sure is a great motto. I like it.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about the history of the chapter here in the North Fork. When did it get started and who's in it and how did that all happen?
Yeah, how that happened is I moved here from Vashon Island in the Puget Sound in Washington State, and I sang in the Threshold Choir there and really, really loved it. It was a precious thing in my life. And one of the sadnesses for me of moving to Paonia was that I was leaving the Threshold Choir. A friend of mine said, why don't you start a chapter here? So there were some other women that said they were interested, and that's how it got started about 2.5 years ago. And there are 11 of us currently in the Paonia Threshold Choir coming to practice every other Monday, the second and fourth Monday. And we practice at my office in the Harvester Building from 6:30 to 8, and would love to have others come sing. The requirement, basically, is that you appreciate singing, that you would want to sing at the bedside of people in a sacred way in their death and dying process, and that you would feel comfortable holding your part as we sing in three-part harmony.
Why would you encourage people to take part of this service?
What I have found, I can only speak personally, is bringing song to that precious sacred time when you're at the threshold seems to bring comfort to many folks. Perhaps that's not true for everyone, but there's a level of finding people taking deeper breaths as we're singing our songs to them. And that, to me, is a sign of relaxing, taking comfort in what's going on.
Are the songs religious-based? Are they hymns, or is there a more humanist, I guess, word approach to it?
Great question, Eric. There's a more humanist approach to it, which is what I really appreciate. The songs are all written by women in the Threshold Choir. And so these are folks that have gone to the bedside and sung and felt inspired either by singing at the bedside or having lost a loved one. And so there isn't any religious base to the songs that we sing.
KVNF was blessed to have members of the North Fork Valley Threshold Choir come into the studio and sing for us. Here with an example of the kinds of songs they sing are Krista Dudley, Annette Chozik, Katie Dean, Marilyn Schwederman, and Jan Simmons.
Thank you for your loving. Thank you for the times you cared. Thank you for your giving, for all your heart has held and shared. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Gracias por amarnos. Gracias por tu compasión. Gracias por darnos todo el tesoro de tu corazón. Gracias, 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 gracias por amarnos, gracias por tu compasión, gracias por Toro El Tesoro de tu corazón. Gracias, 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 gracias.
You are listening to the North Fork Valley Threshold Choir, and this is Local Motion on KVNF. Krista Dudley told us a little bit more about how to contact the group if you know someone who might be in need of their services.
This is a free service. I will be starting to run an ad in the High Country Shopper, and it'll have my name and the Threshold Choir and my phone number, so that's one way. You can also reach me at area code 253-691-0250. You could also go online and look up thresholdchoir.org and read about the organization. And you could show up on the second or fourth Monday in the Harvester Building at 6:30 and come see for yourself.
That was Krista Dudley, and this is Local Motion. We will close out the show with more from the choir.
Be still and know I am. Be still and know I am. Be still and know I am by your side. Be still.
Sing Walking Each Other Home. The words are by Ram Dass, and the music is written by Kate Munger, the founder of Threshold Choir.
We are all just walking each other home. We are all just walking each other home. We are all just walking each other home. We are all just walking each other.
And special thanks to Dorothy Pugh of Hope West, Carrie Lerner of Crawford, and the North Fork Valley Threshold Choir for participating in this discussion. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.